Well, we're on a roll. Welcome to day 22. I hope you enjoyed your 2 days of using your subliminals. Today's focus is on how to eliminate self-sabotage. You know, when I talk to people about succeeding in their lives, really making their goals and dreams a reality, invariably they say, you know, I really go for it, but I just somehow manage to screw things up for myself. Just when I'm about to really make things happen, all of a sudden, whammo, I don't show up for a key meeting, or I say the wrong thing, or I treat somebody mean, or I just don't follow through, and I don't understand it. I don't know why I keep sabotaging myself in this way. Hey, sabotage only comes for one reason, and we've said this over and over again, and we're going to keep saying it because it is the foundation to understanding human behavior. If you're sabotaging yourself, it means you're stopping yourself from following through, right? Why would you do that? Take a wild guess. Because you associate more pain to following through. You're sabotaging yourself as a way of stopping yourself from doing something that you think on some level is going to create a lot of pain in your life. Now, some people think succeeding is going to create pain. It's going to make sure they feel alone or separate from other people. Remember, we've talked about this? So as they start to get close to succeeding, whammo, they sabotage. Why? Because their brain notices that, hey, the more I succeed, people around me don't seem to get too jazzed about it. When I fail, they go, oh, come here, gosh, let me talk to you. How's it going? But when they succeed, they go, oh, yeah, easy for you, buddy. Well, with that kind of conditioning, no wonder people sabotage. We've got to take control back. And the way we take control back, again, as we've done over the last two tapes of conditioning ourselves, is to change our associations to the thing that we're sabotaging. Now, let me bring up another point that I think is equally, maybe even more important. That is this. A lot of us jump to conclusions about sabotage. And a lot of people say, well, gosh, you know, I just keep sabotaging my success. And what I say to them is, are you sabotaging your success or are you just doing stupid things? What I mean by that is, not everything you do that takes away from your possibility of succeeding is a result of self-sabotage. Sometimes you just make poor decisions. And you don't want to start making up in your head that there's this giant pattern dominating your life. And a lot of people do that. For example, this woman at a seminar recently stood up and she said, well, gosh, I just sabotage myself all the time. I said, well, what do you mean? She said, well, you know, like the other day, she said, I was late for work for the second time. I said, well, what does that mean? She goes, well, I was late and that screws things up. I must be sabotaging myself. I said, well, maybe you just got caught up in what you were doing. She goes, no, I think I sabotaged myself. I said, well, why else? She said, well, because not only was I late, but also I forgot some of my things at home. So I wasn't just late. I left my books at home so I couldn't conduct the appropriate meeting. I know I was sabotaging. I said, well, how often does this happen? She goes, well, I don't know, maybe once or twice a month. I said, well, maybe, ma'am, you're not self-sabotaging. Maybe you're just not paying attention. I mean, so be careful about generating this as a generalization in your mind. Does that make sense? Don't get caught up in creating a belief system when maybe something's not there. On the other hand, if you do have a pattern, realize that any pattern you have, including self-sabotage, still comes back to one thing. Human beings, no matter what we're doing, including sabotaging ourselves, we do it for a positive intent. I want you to get that. Anything we do for a positive intent. For example, if you smoke cigarettes, you're not doing it to try and create cancer in your body and destroy yourself. That's not the intent. The intent is your brain long ago linked up, hey, if I'm bored or if I'm frustrated or if I'm feeling some kind of pain of some sort, that this is a way to distract myself. This is literally a way to get rid of the pain and create some pleasure. That's what your brain has learned to do. So the intent of smoking is not to try and sabotage you. The sabotage, the physical sabotage that obviously cigarettes create for us, is not about creating sabotage. It's about creating pleasure and avoiding pain. Do you follow me? We do the same thing with alcohol. We do the same thing if you use drugs. You do the same thing if you watch TV too much. You do the same thing if you don't show up for meetings. There is always a positive intent. Your brain is trying to do something that's good for you in the form of avoiding pain and getting pleasure. So what's the challenge? Well, the challenge is, in our lives, we many times sabotage ourselves because we've got this approach avoidance thing you've heard me talk about so much in these tapes, where we have mixed neuroassociations, where we sabotage our relationship. Why? Because on the one side, remember, we've linked pleasure. If I get a relationship, it's going to be so great. Oh, this person loves me and I can be with this person and we can share so much of life together. And yet on the other hand, we've had experiences where it's meant pain. And so our brain fries. We start to go in the relationship, it seems good, and then all of a sudden our brain goes, uh-oh, but that might mean pain. And also we get these mixed sensations, or our brain doesn't know, is it going to mean pain or is it going to mean pleasure? And when our brain doesn't know, it stops everything. It tries to stop the process of progress. Does that make sense? I'll give you a classic example. I was reading in a book of an example of how our associations can drive us crazy. And what it talked about was an experiment that was done with rhesus monkeys where they put them in a special cage. And what they did is in the cage, they put red, yellow, and green squares. Well, after several days, the experimenter set it up so that the red squares in the cage gave off intermittent shocks that would cause the monkey immediate pain. Well, you can imagine the monkey became pretty anxious and pretty soon learned to avoid the red squares at almost any cost. Well, next, the experimenter caused the red and the yellow squares to give off intermittent shocks, and the monkey began to act as if he was a manic depressive. Why? Because no matter where he went, he seemed to get pain, no matter what he tried. He tried what he thought would work, tried what he didn't work, he's got pain. He started to alternate between hyper-anxiety and depression and withdrawal. The monkey soon learned to avoid the red and the yellow squares, and then all the squares were electrified. Well, the little monkey began to bite itself, to beat its head against the bars, to defecate on itself. You might say the little monkey had been driven crazy. Now, that's a horrible example, and I have absolute contempt for that kind of abuse of animals or people. But what I also want to point out is that this is exactly what some people do to each other. This is exactly what some people do in their own head. Some people create this experimental cage in their brain where they literally begin to link pain to everything in life. We are the ones that create the connections, though. We're the ones that establish the shocks. Because no matter what happens in your life, what you associate to things is your choice. And at least after this program, it is. You don't have to be at the effect. If you notice that you've begun to wire to relationships a red square called pain, you can get rid of it. Because you can know that that is a generalization. Not all relationships equal pain. And so you've got to eliminate those negative associations. Otherwise, you create your own experimental box and you pay the ultimate price. That never needs to happen to you. You have the skills in this program. And if you're not sure about them, listen to a tape again and apply them. You can take those experiences that were painful and use the erasure technique and destroy it. So you don't ever associate pain again to a relationship. Maybe you can even get it where it's somewhat humorous. Or you've at least learned something. Or you can ask yourself better questions and say, okay, it may have felt painful then, but that was only one relationship. And what did I learn so I won't have pain in the future? It's not all red squares are painful. It's that one was, and what can I learn from it so the next red square is pleasurable? Or so I can rewire the red square so it supports me. I just finished doing a Date with Destiny seminar this last weekend before I did this taping with you. And the interesting thing happened is a man walked up to me and he said, Mr. Robbins, I think I should tell you before we begin that I'm into self-sabotage. I said, oh, really? That sounds pretty exciting. He looked at me and said, what? I said, what am I doing? I just interrupted his pattern a little bit, started to break it up. He said, well, no, I'm serious. I said, well, I can see you're very serious. I said, but what do you mean? He said, well, for the last few years, I've been working very hard at getting out of my body. I said, getting out of your body? He said, yes. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, in the last 6 months, I've been in 3 car accidents. I said, well, that's pretty amazing. He said, and you know what else? I said, what? He said, I've been in the hospital 4 or 5 times for fainting spells. I've also fallen off a ladder. And I also fell when I was exercising. And I said, well, I said, how do you know that that means you're trying to get out of your body? I said, I don't agree. He said, what do you mean? I said, listen, if you wanted to get out of your body, you would have pulled that off a long time ago. I mean, that's pretty easy. I mean, all you need is a good gun or, you know, nice big knife. I mean, you could do it quickly. I mean, if you really were committed to getting out of your body, you would have done that a long time ago. Obviously, this self-sabotage you're talking about has a positive intent. What is it you're trying to get out of this behavior? He said, well, I don't know. I said, well, if you did know. He said, I don't know. I guess maybe I just want to know that people love me. I said, interesting. He said, God, I never even realized that till just now. I said, see, people don't sabotage. You're not trying to kill yourself. That's absurd. The bottom line is you want to feel love. And I bet, just like the example I talked about with you earlier in these tapes, with Jackknife, remember when we talked about that guy who slammed his hand through the glass and it was bleeding, and the woman who was rejecting him all of a sudden is making love to him? I said, long time ago, I told him that story, and I said, you know, a long time ago, you obviously linked up that if you get yourself hurt and get in the hospital especially, you got all these people who come and tell you how much they love you and be with you and be worried about you. But I got to tell you something, that isn't love. That's obligation. And he looked at me kind of funny. I said, that's what it is. It's obligation. It's pain. They don't want to come see you. They feel like they have to, and they're guilty. I said, they're not giving you love. In fact, a lot of those people probably hate you because they do that. Boy, you talk about interrupting his pattern. He started to defocus his eyes, started to look inside. What am I doing? I'm getting him to link what? Pain to his present pattern. So his brain will want to change it. I said, listen, if you want love, there are much better ways, and you're a much more intelligent person than this. You don't have to sabotage in this way. You could get it just by, you know, the best way to get love? Give it. See, be loving to people. Give them so much love that they have to give you love back. I said, there's a law in life. It's called reciprocation. What you put out, people feel like they got to give it back. I said, some people stay in relationships with people that they like but don't love, and the reason is they feel stuck because the other person loves them so much that they just, oh, they can't get out. They give love back. I said, listen, if you really want love, start pouring it out so deeply and so powerfully to so many people, it'll come back tenfold. And he looked around, and I said, and if you do that, you have no pain and you have lots of pleasure. You do the other one, you keep breaking body parts. People come, they're obligated. They think, God, what a schmuck. How many more times is he going to get in a car accident? What is he, stupid? But they wouldn't say that to your face. I did this over and over again until I conditioned him to link a new pattern. I said to him as well, look, if you are expressing love, while you're expressing it, what are you feeling? He said, love. I said, well, that's interesting. So you mean you could get what you want the minute you give it? His brain went, wow, what a concept. Here's a whole new way. Now, will this help him to change his whole life? Well, he believes it will. We'll know in 6 months if he hasn't had too many more accidents. The bottom line, unless he's just like blind or something, and that's part of the problem. The point is this. Any pattern of self-sabotage comes out of a positive intent. Do you hear me on this? We're always trying to get something that's good for us. Even people that commit suicide do it for a positive intent in their brain's mind. Their brain says, hey, suicide, being dead would be less painful than being alive, which I have a hard time personally believing. But in the moment, people who believe that commit suicide. Most people never commit suicide because killing themselves is just too painful. So what do? They just beat themselves up a lot. You don't need to do either one. You can free yourself from self-sabotage right now by knowing from this day forward that if you ever start to sabotage yourself, one, don't jump to conclusions and assume that because you've done something a few times and it didn't work out, or the last minute you screwed something up, that it's this specter called self-sabotage that's coming to find you. Try another approach. Maybe it's you're just not paying attention. Maybe you're not focusing. Maybe you just got some poor habits. You know, it may not be a self-sabotage pattern, so don't jump to that conclusion. If it's just bad habits, refocus and decide what you do want to accomplish. And two, if it clearly is a pattern where you are subconsciously sabotaging yourself, screwing things up, hey, get excited. Don't get upset. Say, hey, look, my brain is doing what it does best. It thinks it's keeping me out of pain and giving me some pleasure, but I just got to teach my brain a better pattern. That's all. So what's the intent? And that's how you eliminate self-sabotage. So let's go through the steps real quickly. One, identify a behavior that's keeping you from getting your goals, something that's stopping you or holding you back. First, you got to identify it. That's step number one. Two, once you've identified it, ask yourself, what is the positive intent here? What is my brain trying to give me? So, for example, if you know you're about to go up to somebody and ask them for a date, and then all of a sudden you shut down and you can't even talk, what's the positive intent? Well, my guess would be that your brain is trying to protect you from being rejected. It's saying, well, if he doesn't say anything, he can't be rejected. Rejection is pain. I don't want pain. Does that make sense? So that's why you can't think in that moment. But see, you got to teach your brain otherwise. You got to go in, once you find out that what the positive intent is, and you go, well, it's trying to protect me from rejection. Then you go to step three. Get some leverage on yourself so that you can make the change. You know how to do that. We've done it over and over again. That is, teach your brain that, hey, if I don't change this thing, I know you're trying to help me out here, brain. I know you're trying to keep me from the pain of rejection, but by me not going up and expressing how much I'm attracted, it's costing me relationships that could give me a lot more pleasure. It's a little bitty pain, but not being in a relationship is big pain. I got to explain this to your brain. You got to have a little conversation in your head. The way to do it is on paper. Sit down and write down all the pain you're going to get if you don't change this pattern and all the pleasure you'll get by making the pattern work. Real simple. Step four, interrupt the pattern. And there are lots of ways to do that. We've talked about many. The simplest one that we've used in the last day or two, of course, is the erasure technique. So how do we use it? Well, see yourself beginning to go into a situation where you're sabotaging yourself. In other words, see yourself start to approach, let's say, an attractive person, and You see yourself start to choke up, only this time, watch it happen and scramble it. Be outrageous. The key to interrupting a pattern is to do something your brain would never, ever expect and do it rapidly over and over and over and over again. What that does is totally fry the old pattern that used to stop you. And of course, step five then is install a new pattern. Condition yourself to have new feelings. What do? See yourself over and over going up and making the connection with this person and feeling the pleasure that comes from that. So you clearly teach your brain, pain comes from not doing it, pleasure comes from doing it, and that old pattern, I can't run anymore, I've forgotten what the heck it is, I've scrambled my brain. Simple, humorous, basic way to change and eliminate self-sabotage, something you can easily do. I want to make one other point, and that is some of the most successful people have patterns of self-sabotage. So remember, if you find yourself doing something that doesn't seem to be supporting you in the long term, remember, at some level, your brain thinks it's supporting you, at least in the short term. That's why it's doing it. Don't feel bad about it. Don't go, oh gosh, here I am, this failure. Some of the most successful people that I've interviewed and worked with have had self-sabotage. It's just a pattern we once in a while get, and you can just change it now. It's very easy. So here's your assignment. Pull out your success journal and just identify. Do you have a place in your life where you have a tendency? And by the way, that's all this self-sabotage stuff is. We don't want to make it into a thing. It's not a thing. It's just a tendency. It's just a pattern that once in a while you run. So is there a place in your life where you have a tendency to start to sabotage things when it gets too good, for example? Relationship gets to a certain level and your brain goes, uh-oh, if I get too connected, if I love this person too much, what if they leave me? Oh my gosh, then I'd have pain, so I better sabotage it first. You understand the kind of thing I'm talking about here? So identify if there's a tendency someplace. That's number one. Two, don't feel bad about it. Instead, feel good. Get excited. Say, my brain is awesome. My brain here is doing a good job of what it believes it needs to do to help me to avoid pain and gain pleasure. So feel good about your brain. It means it's doing its job. Three, get some leverage, though, to make a change. Get your brain to associate and teach your brain by writing down, here's all the things I miss out on because of this tendency. And really get your brain to see that there's major pain in sabotaging. And make sure your brain also says, make a list of here's all the pleasure I'd get by making a change. So your brain has got both the stick and the carrot. It's got leverage to want to make the shift. Four, then what you need to do is now simply interrupt the pattern. And to interrupt the pattern, there are a zillion ways to do it again, but use the erasure technique since that's what we've been using for the last 2 days. Real simple process. Think about the sabotage you've done and make it humorous. Run those kinds of scenarios over in your head and turn them into cartoons. Back and forth, back and forth, back and forth until when your brain thinks of it, it kind of laughs and sees that this is ridiculous, where it doesn't run the pattern the same way anymore. And finally, five, rehearse achieving the result you want without the self-sabotage. In other words, rehearse achieving the success you want and make sure you feel the pleasure of succeeding. And do it over and over again till your brain links, hey, this really works. This is really going to last. This is something that I really want in my life. And the self-sabotage pattern or tendency will disappear. So do this and we'll talk about how to create unstoppable self-confidence.